From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. With an Omicron wave on the horizon, city leaders decided to extend Juneau's emergency measures to combat COVID-19 through April 30th. Those emergency measures are a system of rules that the city put in place based on COVID-19 risk levels. Those rules are things like the citywide mask mandate, how many people can get together, and how businesses operate. They're designed to slow the spread of the virus. And the community has been operating under this system since August of 2020. Right now, the city's risk level is high. Hundreds of people have tested positive for COVID-19 in recent weeks as the Omicron variant barrels through Alaska. Bartlett Regional Hospital has had problems with staffing because so many people are out because of exposure to the virus. That means the city is mandating that masks and face coverings must be worn in public spaces, indoors or outdoors when people can't be socially distanced. They're also limiting indoor gatherings to 50 people if people are unvaccinated. And when they met on Monday night, assembly members heard public testimony on extending that system past its expiration date. They've extended the system before. About 20 people testified during the meeting, and the assembly also got dozens of emails in advance of the meeting. About half of the people who spoke up at the meeting were against the idea of an extension. According to the city manager's office, the email responses were about 50-50 for or against as well. Several people said they would like to leave Juneau and take their business and businesses elsewhere. Amy Miller spoke up against extending the mask mandate.
My children don't deserve to grow up in a town like this. We can't do anything with this cold weather. We're like locked in the house and our only options to go out is if we choose to go out. And we don't wear masks. So just imagine how that feels going into any place and the looks that we get as if we're lepers.
The people who spoke out in favor of the city's ongoing management of the pandemic say they know people who have died from COVID-19 or that they want to wear masks to protect themselves and others from spreading the virus or that they have children who aren't old enough to be vaccinated. At times, public testimony was contentious. Some people called assembly members fascists or accused the city of profiting off of the pandemic. Another likened the mask mandate enforcement to the Gestapo. Those were the secret police in Nazi Germany. Although the city has only issued one citation for someone failing to wear a mask, and it was early on in the pandemic. Amanda Spratt also spoke against the extension. She says she thinks the city's efforts to limit the spread of COVID-19 aren't working against the Omicron variant, which is causing case counts to spike regardless of vaccination status.
214 new cases reported today and just one person in the hospital. This no longer constitutes an emergency, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Others said they were worried that after an anemic cruise ship season, local businesses will suffer from the capacity limits on indoor spaces that go into effect at the higher risk levels. Laura Martinson is one such business owner.
Just when our businesses are trying desperately to come out of this pandemic, adding another 3 months onto capacity mandates with a risk level that's 2 years old. It doesn't reflect that we have an 80% vaccination rate, which I'm very proud of.
Martinson asked assembly members to consider that the Omicron wave could end quickly. She says they could wait and reconsider an extension later. Ultimately, assembly members and Robert Barr, who leads the city's COVID-19 response, say they are using the best available science to make their decisions. They passed the emergency measure extension with some changes, including changing the mask requirement to a recommendation when risk level goes down to minimal. They also changed the definition of what it means for the city to be fully open. It used to be that if the community reached a 97% vaccination rate among people who were eligible to get one, the city would remove all restrictions. Now, it's not clear what it will take to be fully open because the city will be waiting on guidance from federal and state health officials to decide when it's time to fully reopen. Federal guidelines that have closely regulated the cruise industry during the COVID-19 pandemic will expire on Saturday, and they won't be extended. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, told a U.S. Senate committee that the conditional sailing orders in effect for cruise lines since last year would be lifted in favor of voluntary participation. Dr. Walensky acknowledged that the decision to allow the order to expire was coming during the largest spike in infections since the start of the pandemic. The CDC's conditional sailing order was first imposed as a no-sail order in March of 2020. It entirely eliminated Alaska's summer cruise season that year. In October of 2020, the agency issued strict guidelines for cruise ships to resume sailing. Most Alaskan ports saw a limited return of ships in 2021 once a legal barrier involving Canada was resolved. Due to pent-up demand and travel restrictions elsewhere in the world, the Alaska visitor industry has projected a record cruise season in 2022. The missile defense complex at Fort Greely was evacuated last week, and its personnel were ordered to take shelter. But military officials won't say if those actions were taken because North Korea had launched a missile that day. And they're not talking about whether any evacuations or shelter-in-place orders were given Monday when North Korea launched another missile. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
A spokesperson for the unit that oversees the missile defense complex says that facility was evacuated January 4th. And he says personnel with the 49th Missile Defense Battalion, which operates the base, were ordered to shelter in place for about 15 minutes. But Major William Smith declined to respond to questions about whether those actions were taken in response to North Korea's launch of a missile earlier that day. And he declined to talk on tape. But he released a statement Tuesday that says the evacuation and shelter in place orders are, quote, infrequent, but do happen from time to time. The statement adds, quote, training for such activities is conducted on a regular basis, end quote. By coincidence, a missile defense base training exercise was scheduled for the next day, last Wednesday. But the exercise that involved use of the base's warning and launch notification system was postponed early that morning. And neither Smith nor Fort Greely spokesperson Angela Glass would say whether the postponement was related to the previous day's evacuation and shelter in place. Smith, who's assigned to the Colorado-based 100th Missile Defense Brigade, also declined to say whether any evacuation or shelter-in-place were ordered again on Monday of this week, when North Korea launched another missile. The two launches were the first that North Korea has conducted this year, and both missiles splashed into the Pacific Ocean. They were the first known launches the nation has conducted since October, when it reportedly tested a submarine-launched missile. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
A magnitude 6.8 earthquake hit about 50 miles southeast of Nikolsky early Tuesday morning. Natalia Rupert is a seismologist with the Alaska Earthquake Center in Fairbanks. She says the earthquake hit at about 2:30 and was preceded and followed by more seismic activity.
It triggered a very energetic sequence of aftershocks. The largest aftershock was a magnitude 6.6. About an hour after a magnitude 6.8 at 3:40 a.m. Today. And we are still recording a seismic activity in that cluster.
She says the center had recorded about 20 other earthquakes of magnitude 4 and above by about 10 o'clock that morning.
This is unusual. We normally don't see such an energetic sequence in such a quick succession.
Rupert says there's no reason for Aleutian Island residents to be alarmed at the moment, but she says there is a chance this sequence could be followed by a larger earthquake. The Alaska Earthquake Center will continue to monitor the seismic activity. Rupert advises that people stay alert and pay attention to earthquake activity in the area in case the sequence does develop into something more serious. As of Tuesday morning, she says none of the activity is large enough to generate a tsunami. Anchorage Police Chief Ken McCoy is taking a new job as Providence, Alaska's first Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. The hospital announced McCoy's hiring in a statement on Wednesday, about a month and a half after McCoy abruptly announced his retirement from the police department with no explanation. His last day as police chief is February 1st. McCoy will help Providence, the state's largest private employer, promote culturally competent care as well as diversity and inclusion for staff, according to the hospital's statement. McCoy, who was born and raised in Anchorage, was named as the city's first Black police chief by Mayor Dave Bronson when he took office in July. But at the end of November, McCoy announced he'd be leaving the administration in February after 27 years working for APD. He didn't give a reason at the time, but said his decision came after, quote, much reflection and thoughtful consideration. 38% of Providence's staff identify as people of color, according to the statement. McCoy will start his new position on February 14th. And authorities are searching for a snowmobile driver who veered into a highly touted sled dog team in northern Wisconsin and injured two of the dogs, including one that ran the Iditarod last year. Ryan Reddington, the Alaskan musher and two-time winner of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, was out with his dogs on the Tri-County Corridor Trail in Bayfield County at 6:45 p.m. on Saturday when a snowmobiler veered near him, sped up, and ran into the dogs. The driver then sped off. All the dogs were either wearing blinking or reflective harnesses. Wheel dog Wildfire broke his leg in three places. Another dog, Willie, suffered a bruised foreleg. That is the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more local and statewide news, you can visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.